Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. To begin this week's program, let me just start with a reminder of the purpose of this YouTube channel. The church, God's people, the saints, we've been put into the sinful world, into the very kingdom of Satan for a number of purposes. The first thing we can think of is the purpose of evangelism. John chapter 17, as you, the Father, sent me, the Son, into the world, so also I have sent them into the world. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's also our duty. We are God's ambassadors, reconciling the world back to God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So we're foreign ambassadors sent into this alien country, ambassadors for the kingdom of Christ, sent into the kingdom of Satan to recruit those who want to emigrate. Second, we're here for reward. That would be 2 Corinthians 4:17. Our affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. That's also 1 Peter 1:7. The proof of our faith is more precious than gold. And third, we're here for remedial training. That would be Romans chapter 5. Our tribulation brings about character. We're having our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. You see, God is preparing us to rule and to reign with him for all eternity, but now we're in God's learning center. We're in his boot camp, and this evil world is a temporary stage. And this only goes around once for all eternity. And here we learn firsthand why God must be God. And this program, God and Country, is to help the church grow in knowledge and discernment. And that's our role as Christian teachers, to help you learn and apply the Word of God. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Philippians 1, 9 would make a good theme verse for this program. Well, in view of that purpose, let's see what we can glean from President Trump's speech at the UN last month. With the news media creating this controversy about the president's phone call with the Ukrainian president, Trump's speech at the UN has been overlooked. And I'm sure many world leaders are glad that Trump's speech was overlooked, buried, because Trump said many things which refuted the spirit of this age. Specifically, the president denounced globalism. Yes, he actually denounced globalism in front of the premier organization that's all about globalism, the UN. And the significance of Trump's speech is felt more keenly if one understands how entrenched the ideology of globalism is at the UN. For example, Kofi Annan, Secretary General of the United Nations from 1997 to 2006, said, "Arguing against globalism is like arguing against the laws of gravity." Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the UN from 2007 to 2016, said that the merits of globalization are selectively ignored in many debates, which pushes the world into a dangerous situation. Antonio Guterres, the current Secretary General, said, "I am deeply convinced that globalism is irreversible." Quote, "But one thing must be very clear. We won't make globalization fair by isolationism, protectionism, or exclusion. Global problems need global multilateral solutions." And quote, "Multilateralism is the cornerstone of the UN." Now, just a note here, the word globalism has taken on a negative connotation, so the new buzzword is multilateralism. And another message being pushed by the UN to address fears of globalism is by saying that we need globalism that's going to be fair for the poor. Globalism is a foregone conclusion, but we desire altruistic, compassionate globalism. Now, all this sounds peace-loving, but in principle, it is laying down a worldview that is contrary to the scriptures. So let's briefly review the biblical mandate for the nations. Remember Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel? The people want to create a one-world government, thinking that that would bring about peace and prosperity. Yet God separated the nations. He supernaturally confused the languages because power in one people, power in one place would bring about evil and totalitarianism. It always does. Power corrupts. Then throughout the Old Testament, we see that the goal of man has always been to consolidate power, to build empires, the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, then the Greek Empire, then the Roman Empire. The prophet Daniel called these empires beasts. And in Acts chapter 17, Paul points out that God made every nation, and he determined their appointed times and boundaries. Paul is referencing Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of men. He set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel. And in the book of the Revelation, at the end of this age, the prophecy warns of an Antichrist spirit and an Antichrist person who will unite the nations together. Revelation 13:7, he has authority over every tribe and people and tongue, and the nation was given to him. And so the Christian worldview has always emphasized nationalism, that God mandates individual, independent nations in competition with one another, lest Genesis 11:6, nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. And so when Christian persecution comes, there's actually another city to which Christians can flee, Matthew chapter 10. Because the default position of man is evil, the consolidated power of man will always result in evil. However, world leaders, without a biblical view of man, without a biblical worldview, actually consider globalism a virtue. That globalism is the way to peace. If everyone is united, there'll be no reason for war. And so nationalism is considered a vice, while globalism is considered a virtue. Nationalism is considered racism, prejudice, pride, ignorance. And for secular world leaders today, the biggest source of evil in the world is religion, at least biblical religion. They like ecumenical religion. Biblical religion is considered that old way of thinking, the old way of thinking about men, about nations. And the new way of thinking, globalism, is alleged to be the key to peace and happiness. The current spirit of the age is that Christianity has kept people down. It's kept the world from advancing. It has kept people separate. So here's a portion of what the president said at the UN. President Trump said, "Americans know that in a world where others see conquest and domination, our nation must be strong in wealth and might and in spirit. That is why the United States vigorously defends the traditions and customs that have made us who we are. Like my beloved country, each nation represented in this hall has a cherished history, culture, and heritage that is worth defending and celebrating, and which gives us our singular potential and strength. The free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them." So here the president is refuting the idea of multiculturalism, that countries need to abandon their culture and their traditional differences in order to unite into a borderless world. The president continued, "Looking around and over this large, magnificent planet, the truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. If you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to the sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique. It is why we in the United States have embarked on an exciting program of national renewal. In everything we do, we are focused on empowering the dreams and the aspirations of our citizens. So here the president is refuting the very things being said by the globalists, by the open border crowd. They say taking pride in your country results in prejudice and oppression. So the president says, if you want freedom, take pride in your country. The globalists say, to have freedom, we need to get rid of national sovereignty. So the president says, if you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. They say nationalism results in war. So the president says, if you want peace, love your nation. They say the future belongs to globalism. The president says the future belongs to sovereign and independent nations. Each line in the president's speech was carefully crafted to refute the claims of globalism. Now, do you see how President Trump's comments were offensive to this UN crowd? It's like holding up a pro-life sign at a pro-abortion rally. It's kind of like holding up a pro-traditional marriage sign at a gay pride parade. The UN is all about globalism. And President Trump had no reservations in telling all of these diplomats that the future does not belong to the globalists. And in this, President Trump was expressing a biblical worldview, that God's plan for a stable world is by pushing for nationalism, not globalism. Not that the country shouldn't talk, but the UN is all about globalism, centralized control. So why is Donald Trump for nationalism? Obviously, he's no theologian. He doesn't hold to nationalistic convictions because he's studied thoroughly the book of Genesis or the book of Daniel or the book of the Revelation. Trump's opponents are claiming that his nationalism flows out of racism and bigotry toward other people. In fact, they say that all nationalism comes out of racism and bigotry. But the best explanation is that Donald Trump is simply holding to his traditions. He's 73 years old. He's from the old school. He still thinks like World War II vets, that America was built on better values than other countries in the world, that America needs to survive as a defense against communism. And Trump may actually hold to nationalism out of some sort of tribalism. My team versus their team. Maybe he even dislikes other cultures. In fact, most nationalism in the world has been out of cultural preferences. This is why God confounded the languages in the first place, to create this social tribalistic barrier. I mean, do you think the people of the world were going to follow God's mandate for individual nations willingly, out of the goodness of their own hearts? No, they needed some vested interest. God actually sometimes uses pride and the prejudices of people to do his will, to keep them separate. Most people don't steal because they have some well-thought-out theology of private ownership. They don't steal because they don't want the consequences. So just because some people are nationalistic for the wrong reason doesn't mean nationalism is wrong. Most of the right things done in this world, the things that conform to God's law, are done for the wrong reasons. But the important thing is that the right thing is being done. You know, so it's nonsense to say, I don't think we should support the president's nationalistic stance because he might have racist motives. Well, that's really a misunderstanding of how God moves the hearts of kings like channels of water to get his will done in this world. I mean, Genesis 50, they might mean it for evil, but God means it for good. So regardless of the motives, what does God's word command? So what was the reaction to Trump's comments at the UN? Headlines from the Washington Post. Trump condemns globalism, touts nationalistic view of foreign affairs at UN. President Trump delivered one of his harshest critiques of globalism here Tuesday at the UN General Assembly, promoting the American first ethos that has defined his presidency on issues of defense, trade, and immigration before a body built on international cooperation. Trump read his address in a somber monotone, rarely punctuating words or pausing for emphasis, but his message for the 74th session of the annual gathering of world leaders was clear. As he argued that a view of the world as a global commons has exerted a religious pull over past leaders at the expense of their own nations. Politico: Guterres and Trump embody clashing visions at UN summit. The leaders of the United Nations and the United States offer opposing worldviews at the General Assembly on Tuesday. It was a war of words and a clash of worldviews. In the well of the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday, Guterres, the Secretary General, spoke about reaffirming the principles of multilateralism and international cooperation upon which the UN was founded. In sharp contrast, the U.S. President Donald Trump delivered a forceful defense of nationalism and individual state sovereignty, which also serves as a denunciation of globalization and a warning against pluralistic compromise that included a blustery boasting about U.S. military supremacy. Time magazine: UN heads warn leaders that world is facing a great fracture. In his State of the World address to the General Assembly, a gathering of the heads of state, of government, Guterres said, "The risk may not yet be large, but it's real. We must do everything possible to avert the great fracture and maintain a universal system, a universal economy, with universal respect for international law, a multipolar world with a strong multilateral institution," he told presidents, prime ministers, monarchs, and ministers. So we can see in those comments Guterres's globalistic agenda. The Guardian: Donald Trump denounces globalism in a nationalistic address to the UN. Greatness is only realized by the will and devotion of patriots. President echoes far-right nativist groups in muted delivery. CNN: French President Macron fires back at Trump's speech at the UN General Assembly. Macron said, "The President of the United States said the future doesn't belong to globalists, the future belongs to patriots." No, not so. "The world's problems cannot be solved by turning inward. True patriotism combines a love of one's nation with multilateralism based on real cooperation." The Atlantic: Donald Trump issues a scathing rejection of globalism. In his UN speech, the U.S. president went after several countries and institutions, but perhaps none more so than the world order itself. "We reject the ideology of globalism in favor of the ideology of patriotism," so spoke the American president from the pulpit in the high church of the first ideology before a congregation nominally convened in the spirit of global cooperation. Let me also point out here that President Trump had a few words to say against the open border movement, which is the application of globalism. The president said, "Mass illegal immigration is unfair, unsafe, and unsustainable for everyone involved, the sending countries and the depleted countries, and they become depleted very fast. But their youth is not taken care of and human capital goes to waste. The receiving countries are overburdened with more immigrants that they can possibly accept. And the migrants themselves are exploited, assaulted, and abused by vicious coyotes. Here in the United States and around the world, there is a growing cottage industry of radical activists and non-governmental organizations that promote human smuggling. These groups encourage illegal immigration and demand erasure of national borders. Today, I have a message for those open border activists who cloak themselves in the rhetoric of social justice. Your policies are not just. Your policies are cruel and evil. You are empowering criminal organizations that prey on innocent men, women, and children. You put your own false sense of virtue before the lives, well-being of countless innocent people. When you undermine border security, you are undermining human rights and human dignity. So no matter what you think of President Trump, if you know and follow a biblical worldview, you have to be amazed that Donald Trump is putting the brakes on the globalist movement, a movement that dominates social political thought today in a very prophetic way. Now, out of curiosity, I went back and listened to two speeches of President Obama at the UN, and the tenor of his speeches was globalism. Quote from President Obama, "We have to keep pace with an interconnected world. We must have a renewed international system that gives us progress. We must have collective responsibility, a collective effort. We must renew the purpose of the UN's founding. Yes, we must defend the interests of my people, but in 2009, the interests of nations and people are shared. We share a common future. The work we do, we must do together. Quote, time has come for the world to move into a new direction. We must embrace a new era of engagement based on interest and mutual respect, a new era of engagement with the world, a global response to global challenges." So, what a difference between what President Obama said and what President Trump said last month, that the future does not belong to globalists, the future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique. Someone sent me an article that tried to make the case that Trump says these things, but it's actually a scam. He is actually a double agent for the left because personally, he has been seen hanging out with globalists. Trump says these things against globalism, but in the back room, he's really telling these leaders, yeah, I have to say these things to fool my constituents. This article said that Trump is just a setup by the left to make conservatives look foolish. Quote from the article, "Trump is not just an unwitting scapegoat. He is a participant in the game, playing a theatrical role, a bumbling villain. In the script, he is the anti-globalist who trips over his own hubris and causes the downfall of the American empire. He is playing the pig-headed conservative that proves once and for all why conservative philosophy is evil and why leftists were right all along. Part of his job is to co-opt the liberty movement, redirect its energies into pointless pursuits, and to make us look ridiculous or dangerous by the end of his presidency." Well, that's it. Interesting conspiracy theory. If Trump does something that's leftist, well, he's a leftist, and if he does something that's conservative, that's just a ruse to make conservatives think he's on their side. Kind of reminds me of the Pharisees. When Jesus did something right, they said Jesus must be casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Here's what I think we can take away from Trump's speech at the UN. Despite all of the president's faults, God is giving his people a reprieve, a temporary hiatus from the leftist agenda, which would have been extreme if the left won back in 2016. Trump is certainly not the perfect president, but he is an obstacle in the way of the full-blown leftist agenda. Remember, according to Psalms, world leaders are involved in an international conspiracy against God. Psalm chapter 2. "Why are the nations in an uproar? The people devise a vain thing. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Their desire is to break the law of God." On a conscious and a subconscious level, this is the goal of almost every person sitting there at the 74th session of the UN General Assembly. This is where the world is going. And given the ungodliness of this world, it's kind of surprising that the Antichrist has not already taken over and is not already reigning. You know, in listening to the presidential candidates on the left, if the left takes over, they take the House, they take the Senate, they take the presidency, they will fundamentally change America into some sort of socialistic Sodom and Gomorrah. Last week, Beto O'Rourke said that the president should resign to allow this country to heal, and we will come back together with the greatest, most ambitious agenda we have ever faced. None of it is possible while he remains in power. Cory Booker said, "We are sick and tired of the U.S. Constitution sitting in our national archives, manipulating everything we do." Elizabeth Warren said, "We need judges to be advocates of progressive laws, not people who will bow to the whims of the Constitution." Chuck Schumer said, "These right-wing judges don't think for themselves. They just do whatever the Constitution says, and it is time for that to end." So, a day is coming when the left will come back into power. Remember, the majority of the people in America voted for Hillary Clinton. Pro-abortion, pro-transgender candidate. In the last election, the Democrats won the majority in the House of Representatives. The voting public is fickle, it's unprincipled, and they will eventually be deceived by the propaganda. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe the lie in order that they may all be judged. But until then, it's really interesting to see how God is putting brakes on their agenda. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. But before that day, remember Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So God is holding back the Antichrist agenda until the work of God's people is completed. And notice that God uses some interesting characters to thwart the spirit of the age. I mean, God uses people like Samson and Cyrus and Jehu and Nebuchadnezzar. He uses these people to overthrow wickedness. God uses strange characters to do the dirty work so that God's people don't have to do the dirty work. So rather than complaining, let's rejoice that God is on the throne. Let's rejoice that he is raising up defenders of the truth, judges. And let's be busy doing the work of evangelism and discipleship. John chapter 9, we must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it's day, the night is coming when no one can work. So thank you for making God and country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Contact information is on the closing slide. To lend your moral support, don't forget to hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe. And I pray that your love may abound all the more in all knowledge and in all discernment.